From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spill, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Yeah. Welcome to another Beers with the Brewers, recorded every week in the Kickstarter room at the Land Grant Brewing Company Tap Room. This is the August 8th episode. Summer is coming to a close. I'm Mark Richards. Got Wolf Keys over here.
Sound like a very depressing intro there.
Yeah.
It was very somber.
We got to get these pool parties in us before summer's out.
Yeah, it's going to be a sad day.
Am I wrong?
Once that's gone. Yeah.
That's Adam Benner over there.
Yeah, interrupting back on vacation.
Pool party king, he's back. And Dan Schaefer.
Ahoy.
There, that peps it up a little bit. Got Dan in the house. This week we're talking about, as promised, Concentrate Hazy IPA version 103.
Yep.
Pretty juicy.
Damn good beer.
Yeah.
Tropical. Apricot.
Yeah.
Depending on how you feel.
Is that a north-south thing?
I don't know.
East coast, west coast thing?
Orange.
How do you say it?
Apricot.
I say apricot.
There's no E in there. It's an apricot.
It's an apricot. Yeah. All right.
I'll go with the apricot. Orange and smooth. It's delicious.
Very tropical.
Is what it is.
Tropical AF.
That's and fine for all you listeners out there. Mm-hmm. What about tacos? Are we eating tacos anymore?
Eh. I guess.
Let's just keep eating Ray Rays.
I think so.
It's right
usually
out
with
there.
These, just anything spicy goes nicely with these because, got that little
like a Ray Rays taco.
Well, we got Sunnyside Taco on Monday. Josh does a fine job out there slinging tacos.
Chorizo taco.
Yeah, it'd be good with that, maybe like a mango salsa that they do on tacos. Like a fish taco with mango salsa.
Or like a mango habanero. Nice. Like an al pastor, like with the pineapple on there. That'd be good too.
Yeah. Maybe a mix. Maybe get one al pastor, one mango salsa.
Yeah, I watched this Netflix documentary series about tacos that was pretty good. It made me want to eat tacos a lot.
What's it called?
Like Taco Chronicles or something.
That's
recommend
cool.
it.
Yeah. Very cool.
It's in Spanish. You got to read the subtitles. Unless you speak Spanish, which I don't.
Yeah.
Off the charts today. No, tonight we've got music. Flytown Records is doing another one of their showcases, so they're gonna bring a handful of their artists out to play the beer garden tonight. That would be Thursday the 8th. Is that what today is?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then Sunday we have Lucas Harris playing out there, and then next weekend we've got a few events to talk about. We've got our event, the Backyard Barbecue, where we invite a lot of our awesome neighbors to the beer garden to kind of show off what they do. Idea Foundry, 400 West Rich, Glass Axis, Lundberg. They're all going to be here doing various interactive art and maker stuff. We're going to have beer, eating contest, live music, live karaoke, live band karaoke, LBK, they call it in the industry.
Oh.
Yeah, barbecue, beer. It's gonna be a good old time. So that's next Saturday, the 17th.
And there's gonna be a dunk tank again.
Yeah, dunk tank will be back.
Is there gonna be a schedule of when people are getting dunked? So
yes.
If you want to dunk your favorite person, where would they go find that?
We will post that on all of our social media, the Facebook event page.
What time am I getting dunked?
Do I have? You have to talk to Kayla about that one. She's putting together the schedule right now. But yeah, we'll post up when people are going to be dunked or available to be dunked and all that going to charity. And then
if you do want to dunk me in the dunk tank, I'll be matching all of your donations to the WAVE, formerly Dick and Jane Project. So
yeah, so come dunk Adam and double your charitable investment. The live band karaoke is going to be a charitable endeavor as well.
So is that live band karaoke going to be a set list format?
I believe it's going to be a set list, so where we'll, you sign up for the song that you want to sing ahead of time.
Ooh, I like that.
So we
that.
Will have, like, there will be a selection of, you know, 15 songs or whatever it is in the order that they will be performed. And
you sign
if
up
you
online.
See one that you know you could nail, you and your buddies, you give a little bit to charity and you get to get up there and kill it. So
now, is that a pre-sign-up or day of sign-up? Or are we still working out those details?
We're working out those details.
Oh, there's Caleb right there.
But details on karaoke will be available next week.
Kayla, do you have the details?
Dirty Money is the band.
Dirty Money.
Yeah.
Headlining. You could sing for Dirty Money.
Yeah.
You could be their singer.
So look for all the very specific details next week on our various social media channels on that. Also, the same day as Backyard Barbecue, a really cool event going on for the second year at Daily Growler in German Village, the Prince and Pints. Basically, I want to say like 15 or so artists team up with 15 or so breweries, and they design a poster to represent those breweries, and then they all go on display and for sale at Daily Growler on Saturday. I believe it starts at noon. That's at Daily Growler in German Village. So go check out the art, go check out the posters, then come down and party with us. Oh, yeah. I'm also supposed to mention Idea Foundry is going to have a flamethrower at this event at the barbecue. So,
are they going to be barbecuing with it?
I don't know. I know there is a waiver involved. So, come check out the flamethrower.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then, anniversary party down the road a little bit, September 28th. Mark your calendar for that. It's almost fall. So, if you listen to this and you're into football or fantasy football,
fancy
football, as we call it around here.
That's fancy.
You got to draft your teams soon. So we love hosting draft parties. So go to the contact page on our website and shoot us a note and have your party here. Cool. That's all I got. I could probably go on even longer, but
got to get back to high energy.
I think
Mark.
People want to hear about beer.
I'm right here.
Talk about this beer.
You know, I'm just over here concentrating on my concentrate.
Yeah, drinking beers with
you. Know
a
what
brewer.
I'm talking about, Dan?
Mark, man, you've already gone through that whole first one.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
He poured it's himself a good. Small.
It's pretty
pour.
Good.
All right, Dan, what do you know about this beer?
Well, coming in at the now familiar 7.5% ABV and 36-ish IBUs. So, feature hop in this is Simcoe. And then backed up with some Cryo Palisade and some Cryo Equinaut. Many thanks to brewing buddy and former co-worker Jay at Hamburg Brewing, who I asked about the Palisade and said it really works well with Simcoe.
There you go. And, thanks, Jay.
It seems to be right.
Yeah. It basically did what I thought it was going to do. Wanted to do kind of a return to form and the... first iteration of concentrate that was more stone fruit / orangey, and this is kind of like that, but this is, I would say, definitely different. I think it's got more mouthfeel than that beer did, and it's sweet but not like cloying. I don't know,
I'd say the aroma is a lot cleaner on this as well. Just straight citrus orange on that versus a lot of that stone fruit from that first concentrate. I think I got more on the aroma.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a green, like an underripe tropical aspect to it. Not like raw, but I think somebody used a descriptor the other day. It's like sort of the, you cut into a mango, sort of the part by the pit that's just a little bit less ripe than the part on the outside. It's kind of like that.
Have you guys ever cut a mango before? It's really hard.
I've been doing some mango cutting.
I cut a mango yesterday for this little video I'm working on, and man, the pit in that thing is no joke.
You need to get one of those pitters.
Yeah.
That guy made all this.
I thought it was going to be like an avocado pit where I just kind of twisted the thing around and popped out.
No, just stuck in there.
Not at all. It's like,
No, I usually end up wasting most of it, just cutting the ends off and then gnawing on the pit.
I had to cut a second one because the first one got pretty ugly.
Yeah.
It was not photogenic.
What other kind of tropical fruits were you playing with, Walt?
Got some cantaloupe in there. Some. I bought a fruit that I didn't know what it was, and it was I felt really embarrassed because it was a pomegranate. Yeah. I guess I didn't know what the outside of a pomegranate looked like, just the inside. And some grapefruit. was just a big fruit salad out here yesterday. You can look for that video soon.
Did you get any of those maraschino cherries for the fruit salad? That just the odd one, your Dole fruit cup?
No.
No, I didn't. It's just maraschino cherries and mandarin oranges.
Yeah.
Nailed the haziness again on our hazy IPA. That's the start. I guess that's the prerequisite. But as I said, I think this one is the cleanest. That's what, you know, we have that smooth finish, the cleanest finish, really distinct aroma. Or I feel like the other ones have blended more together, almost like a fruit salad, if you will, where this seems the aroma is a lot more obvious of what it is.
It's a very appealing haziness.
Yeah, I would agree.
Sometimes you see the
nice
murky milkshake.
It's got a hue. Ones,
but this has a nice opacity.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, a large part of that is the fact that all three of those hops have some element of kind of stone fruit citrus to them. They're all not interchangeable, but they're all similar in the same sort of family. And I really like that the Equinox Cryo doesn't have that green pepper flavor that we have come to associate with the normal Equinox, which is specifically why I used it. With the Cryo, when you remove all of that vegetal matter, which is where that green pepper flavor comes from in the first place, you don't have that. You just have sort of this nice apricot, mango, papaya thing.
Yeah, it makes good sense. Yeah. It's nice. Nice in Cryo form.
So yeah, this came out last week. It's around town at this point. Kegs and cans. Look for it at your favorite retailer or corner bar. If they don't have it, just, you know, ask for it. Because why wouldn't they have this delicious beer? Any other thoughts on the Concentrate 103?
I'm wondering how crushable it is.
How crushable is it?
It's 7.5, so I think
you should respect the alcohol.
If you're crushing responsibly,
you're going to drink 7.5.
That's I was thinking that's a little over.
That's,
no,
that's a bold choice.
I'd say 3.
I'm going to go 4. And I think that was part of the design of this beer as well, is that these beers, hazy styles, can be a little much to drink a few of. And given that, you know, it's August, you don't particularly want to down a really heavy beer. But I think this, it's the gentler, kinder hazy that we all want this time of year.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't have all that old body. It's almost parallels, as we were talking about Quadrahopic 103 a couple weeks ago, that's the summer Quadrahopic. You could crush more of them. I'm going to go with the 3 as well, just because of the alcohol on it. I think you could do a 4 pretty easily for how this beer finishes, and it is more refreshing than other of these hazy styles, these bigger IPAs, but I'm going to go 3.
I'm going to even out the odds and join Dan, okay. I think. But I'm not looking at, do I have to drink 4 of these beers? More like, on a scale of 1 to 6, this is a 4. It's very approachable.
Yeah. So 3.5.
Very approachable.
3.5
beer
is probably where I would put it. Right.
I mean, anyway. I definitely could drink 4 of these, but like, yeah, just trying to.
You know, there's still pool parties to be drank.
Yeah. 3.5 it is. Do we
don't need to think. I don't actually get like that much time to drink that many beers consecutively with the kids. So generally I get like 1 or 2 before nap time.
Man,
and
I'm
then
thinking
1 or 2 after they wake after up. So yeah.
Time with the kids, that means time to have more beers probably.
these are kids, not grandkids.
Oh yeah, that's true.
All right.
We had a very interesting question from a listener.
This is
week.
Like the most amazing thing.
Dan, I've got to show you this received. Beautiful thing. Open this thing. We have a hand-typed letter.
We don't even suggest sending in hand-typed. So
I don't think we've ever offered that as an option.
Shout out to Zach Rusfield. We always talk about reaching out on social or the website, but this is
amazing.
This is a typed on a typewriter.
Yeah, hand-typed.
This
is beautiful. Not hand-typed on a computer and email. This is typed with a old-fashioned typewriter.
Mechanical typewriter.
On letterhead.
Correspondence stock.
Hand-signed correspondence stock.
Yeah.
And mailed to us via the Postal Service.
It's a long lost art.
Oh, God bless you, Zach. Yeah. That is a beautiful thing.
Analog, baby. We're going analog this week.
And a nice
work, Zach.
Nice airmail stamp on here.
I love it. It's beautiful. The whole thing's beautiful. I should have opened it with a letter opening.
With the Columbus, Ohio return address.
This is some thick correspondence stock as well.
Yeah, that's like
a hardy stock.
Use that for like a resume.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff you get at Staples.
Well, thanks, Zach. In reading, it says, Dear Mark, Adam, Walton, crew. So that must be for the brewers since they're rotating. But
I do also want to add that for our notes for this episode, Mark included the whole letter, which means Mark had to...
Mark retyped it.
Retyped
that
into the computer.
He transcribed, I'm writing you today with a question for the podcast. As a longtime listener and first-time asker, I want to start by sharing my appreciation for the banter, education, and beer. My question is about beer styles with geographic names, be it a West Coast IPA or a New Zealand-style lager. I'm seeing location in a beer's name more than ever. What style of brew would you brew as a Columbus style, and what would you make it to stand out? Here's hoping you find this analog question worth debating. Daddy needs some new LG swag. With appreciation, Zach Rossfield. And there's a postscript here. PS, is that what that stands for, Walt? You're the English guy.
Yep.
Any chance we will see a Helles collaboration with a Cincy brewery to celebrate Helles Real? I think I'll touch on this, Walt and I. And obviously, we have the big match on Saturday, so we do look forward to seeing everyone at Moffray Stadium. We'll be down at the mega tailgate. With all of our friends getting ready for the big match against
the massive match
against the hated rivalry on
for all the
FC
marbles
Cincinnati
too.
And I will give some credit to Walt, so he definitely used this in a rivalry sports form before anyone adopted it on the soccer side, before even FC Cincinnati was a team. Back a few years ago, which is happening again this year when the UC Bearcats came and play Ohio State. If you're not familiar with the website 11 Warriors, we've talked about it in the past, but Walt does all the design for 11 Warriors, the Ohio State blog, and does a game poster. Is this the last year you're doing that, Walt?
No.
Maybe?
The goal in my mind is to do 10 seasons, and this will be season 8, I think.
There you go. So every week, every Wednesday, comes out with a...
Gets harder every year.
...game poster, and...
Just when you thought you were out.
Sometimes they happen the day before, and no one would know it. A shameless plug, I've given a couple suggestions out there. But, yeah, Walt used to do game posters just for our friends, and then started doing 11 Warriors. And then for the UC game... Has the Bearcat bus.
2014.
Yeah.
I just looked it up.
And he's got the Bearcat bus is going back to Cincinnati, driving down south on 71, and has the Hell is Real sign.
Yeah.
Because of what happened.
It's all my idea.
And then, some other people, but...
But it's great. I love it.
But we are not doing a collaboration with that name, and we've always had that name... Basically, a few years back, we thought that would be a cool name, but give a shout out to a brewery that had never came to fruition, Brewery X down in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. We met them down at the
DC.
Yeah, Craft Brewers Conference about 6 years ago, maybe, Washington, DC, before we had even opened. And a gentleman that was starting the brewery was an architect down in Cincinnati, and we had some lunch with him. And he's like,
looking up his name.
I got the best name for a beer. I want to make a Helles and call it Real. And it's going to be called Helles Real. And you guys can't use that. So we've always made sure that we wouldn't do that. And even a couple years ago when the U.S. Open Cup happened, we again had the idea, weren't sure their status of the brewery, but apparently someone has registered that name with the state of Ohio, so I wouldn't be surprised if that beer comes out, if someone does brew that beer. We did talk to a couple breweries down in Cincinnati about doing a collaboration around this match and rivalry this year, but with everyone's production schedules getting crazy, we'll save that for next time. But
just didn't work out this year.
Didn't work out. But we'll be at the match. We'll be at the match. There'll be a bunch of Langerhans people down at the match in Cincinnati in a couple weeks as well. So definitely looking forward to it. And having a true rival here in the MLS, not just one that they just assigned like Toronto or Chicago being the closest team, other team. So
Jack Martin.
Shout out to Jack Martin. Say like, the Brewery X. I forgot his name. We're good.
Yeah,
Jack Martin. Yeah. So, but on the other question, I know a long-winded response on the postscript, but what do you guys think about why maybe there's all the location designations and what Columbus might be?
Now, I want to say Columbus pool party. Yes.
Yeah, Columbus pool party
all day.
I made the obvious peanut butter chocolate porter joke earlier.
Oh.
Like Buckeye.
Interesting.
But I don't know. It's not really quite the same. Because it's not like New England IPAs taste like baked beans or roast beef sandwiches. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've racked my brains over this one many, many times. Because we don't really have...
I don't think we do.
I mean, apart from Buckeyes, there's not like a dessert that you associate with Columbus.
Yeah. But it's not really what food is a region known for. It's what style beer,
right?
And yeah, right
there,
now
is there something?
I mean, it would have to be something that was like New England that just sort of rose up organically.
Right.
I don't know. Obviously, our main cash crop here is corn, but it's not like no one has ever put corn in a beer. So I don't know. Look out for that Johnny Marzetti Blonde Ale. I don't know.
Marzetti Indian.
Yeah, it's kind of IPA. To your point, some of those names arose because of the region the ingredients were grown. Like a New Zealand lager is really, you know, it's a Pilsner style beer with ingredients from New Zealand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where a West Coast IPA really hints at Southern California, but it's using hops from Pacific Northwest in a way.
Yeah. And then New England, I mean, that just grew out of like Heady Topper and all that in Vermont. Those beers are being brewed there and kind of spread from there. But I don't know. I feel like now there's probably less of that with just the access to information and stuff that a brewery in Columbus can catch on to something from a brewery in Montana or wherever.
It's like the black IPA, the Cascadian dark ale.
Yeah.
I'd say the closest we've come to something approaching a unique style would be what we did with Helios and what we're planning on doing again shortly in terms of like a lager with local, Ohio malt anyway, and some type of adjunct that is a bit rustic. If you don't know what Einkorn is, in a little while we will tell you.
I can see that.
Incorporating, but also like a hoppy lager and incorporating honey, you know, that's a lot of things. Whatever word you want to
call. I'll go with that. That's pretty good because, you got the Ohio as, some people think when they think of Ohio, you think of just the agriculture and people are surprised when they, from the East Coast, when they come and visit and go, oh, I didn't know Columbus was like this.
Or, no, they got concrete. Wow.
But it is still a big part of the state, yet you still have three major metropolitan areas in Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. So,
the way I interpret that, Dan, is the closest thing we've got is like the sustainability series where we're making a point to get all regional Ohio locally grown items to put in a beer.
Yeah, and hopefully as time goes on, we will have more and more options as to local ingredients to use. So, I would love it if we could do something like that every year.
Yeah, cool.
No, we're getting a phone call here.
Oh, man. Another question from a listener phoning
it's
in.
Actually,
I think Sam wants me to take the grain out.
Sending a telegram question is probably the next one we'll get.
That would be next level.
Fire up the telegram machine.
But thanks, Zach, for sending in that analog question.
Yeah, you definitely earned yourself a t-shirt.
We will give you a physical.
Concerning the podcast. Stop.
Yeah. And we got your full address here, so we're gonna hunt you down and get you a T-shirt.
And also, we should let you know that your amazing letter is being hung on the Land Grant office art wall.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
By Mark.
Yep. It's getting a prominent place, yeah. And we're going to double tape it down just so the fan doesn't blow it off the wall.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What are we talking about next week?
Got that lawn raker. Oh, I know, yeah. It's not exactly the season to rake the lawn, unless you're raking up acorns, which I'm doing a lot of right now, but... It is the time of the year that we need to get the Oktoberfest in the stores for everybody to be able to get stocked up on before Oktoberfest.
Can you put acorns in a beer?
Squirrels, I think it's poisonous for humans. That's what I've heard.
Well.
Have you eaten any?
No.
Dan, crushability on an acorn. What do you got?
Actually, I saw Mike Tonsmeyer did an acorn beer.
Yeah,
but he aged the acorns. It was very cool. He stuck them in a jar. The only problem is you have to take them and make sure there's no wormholes. Otherwise, you just, you know, infested all of your acorns. Which is why we will probably never do an acorn beer.
I thought you died if you ate an acorn.
No.
You're okay?
Yeah.
Now, are you saying egg corn, Mark, or acorn?
Acorn.
Got to get me that
acorn. Yeah, acorn.
Cool.
What is egg corn?
It's actually...
That is the new Columbus style.
Egg corn.
He did it. There you go.
It's actually a mnemonic phonetic pronunciation of things. So, like, people that mispronounce things, they're actually called egg corns.
All intensive purposes.
Because there are people that think it is egg corn or, all those sorts of things.
Oh, okay.
I like that. Well...
Like U.S. Weekly?
Yeah.
I think it looks like all you got to do is come over a couple streets if you need some acorns or egg corns. I've got a whole driveway full of them.
Yeah. There you go.
Damn it. Now I'm going to have to make an egg corn beer for the anniversary party.
You look for our new year-round core beer, acorn, acorn beer.
Our acorn eggnog beer.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. That eggnog beer, that sounds good.
All the kids are crazy about that nog.
Yeah. It's kind of a milkshake thing.
22-ounce cans. Here it comes. Just keep it independent out there, y'all.
Yeah, tip bartenders.
Tip bartenders. Cheers.
This is Dan. My voice is my passport.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, Siri better watch her ass. I'm right there.